We indeed are ready. It's time for our weekly chat with Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Team Ace, what's up?
Not too much. Just hanging, walking around the house, doing a little cleaning. All that fun stuff, you know?
Yeah, not really. Don't you have a cleaner?
No.
Don't you hire somebody to do that?
No way. I can do that myself. You kidding me?
Really?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to clean toilets.
No, they don't, but.
And dusting. I hate dusting.
Yeah.
That's the one I hate. Right? When you, especially if you have like bookshelves and stuff and trying to remove everything and dusting, that's a no for me.
No, we don't like it.
Tomorrow night in Edmonton, that'll be the final game in the month of January. So on these airwaves, it'll be at 8 o'clock puck drop. Pete Weber and J.P. Dumont again tomorrow night. Hal Gill tested positive, so he'll be out Thursday night. Hope to get him back in the month of February. I'll have pregame for you at 7. Back on the television side, Willie and Chris and their crew will be back on Bally Sports, so check that out. 8 o'clock puck drop. You guys will have pregame at 7:30. I said I was going to ask you this right out of the gates. I just want to get the goalie's perspective. I loved the play, and I know we see this. It's not like, you know, this is some, oh, an anomaly. Oh, my gosh, I've never seen that before. But I just love it, and I love the savviness of Cousins coming down the right side in the first period and seeing Johansson on the back door and didn't feel like he could get a clean pass through, you know, like the slot and the crease area. So instead, he's like, I'm just gonna throw it off Grubauer's pad and hit Johansson on the back door, and it almost worked. I want to know, one, what you think of that play, and two, what's that like as a goaltender in that position?
Well, it's hard, and these guys do that in practice a lot. Is you come down and you set up the drill, and you come down the wing, and you have an option. If you don't think you can score, you put off the pads. For a goaltender, it's impossible because you think this guy is coming down and he's going to either try to rip one or make a nice pass back door. That's kind of the last thing that you forget about. You don't see it as much in games anymore. But, you know, now, you know, once in a while, like you said, the savvy of Nick Cousins to be aware, like, hey, all right, this is a good play. I know Johansson's going back door, and it almost worked. I mean, it's a great play. And, you know, Cousins, he's a headsy player. And the more you see him play, the more you appreciate him. And obviously when we first got him, we thought, oh, this guy's an agitator, could play the game a little bit. But he's done a great job playing up and down the lineup, whatever position, whoever you put him with. He can muck it up. He's got some skill. You know, right when he got here, John Hines said he's got some sneaky skill, and now we're starting to really see that. And, you know, his game, I feel with, like, a lot of the guys is taking another step here. And, again, just good headsy play, good veteran play. It's tempting for a player when you're in that position to shoot to score, but sometimes, you know, you recognize the situation of, hey, I might be able to create a better chance by just putting it off the pads. And for a goalie, there's nothing you can do. It's going across the grain. You're set up on that shot. That's all. Unless you get it with your stick, it's going right back out to where it did to Johansson. So great play there. Good heads up play.
What do you make of the play of Matt Duchene, considering 19 goals in the first two seasons as a member of the Predators, and now 20 goals through 44 games. Nice power play goal there last night to seal the victory at two even strength goals Saturday night in the win over Detroit. And just really playing, I mean, I love his skating this year, man. He is skating with a purpose, without a doubt. What do you make of Duchene's play?
I love it. And, you know, he even said it last night when he was talking to Linda after the game. He just said, you know what, it's confidence. These guys, he's always had the skill. He's always had the skating ability. He's always had all that. You know, I think last year, I think you could see some doubt, some hesitation in him. And maybe over the last couple of years, getting settled, all the expectations, the big contract and this and that, and maybe just not quite, you know, couldn't get out of his own way, I feel, at times. I mean, he loves the game. And when you put more pressure on, you try a little harder. And sometimes that restricts your instincts, the way that you just feel the game. You go out there and play. When you think too much, there's a split second of hesitation, and by the time you know, you're into the game, it's too late, you know, to make plays like that. So I feel this year he's free of that. He's you know, really confident. His line mates and his teammates are the whole thing. But you know, David Poyle's probably sitting there just going, "Thank God." You know, we got this. Thank God. You know, we needed Johansson, we needed Forsberg, we needed Duchesne to have big years. If you want to call this a competitive transition or whatever, Everyone's got a different word for it. But those guys don't, you know, they don't perform or produce like they do. It. Hey, you never know. You're in a full rebuild, and you're selling these guys off and buying people out left and right. So these guys are doing what you know, they got signed to do, and it's a beautiful thing because the consistency's there too, which is great.
You're right. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it could have been, you know, injuries or whatever, or they've just played and haven't been very good. Can you imagine if those guys were not producing? You're right. I mean, it would be a total different conversation piece about this team. Like, instead of them surprising everybody in the way they're playing, they look like, now that we've seen more than now, as they're in the second half of the season, more than half of the season, this team looks like a playoff team without a doubt, a strong candidate for the playoffs. But yet, if that wasn't taking place, you're right. I mean, it would be like, you know, sitting there like Winnipeg spot, right? Sitting there in sixth and everybody's going, well, they're exactly what everybody predicted them to be. Yeah. Be a totally different conversation.
Yeah, it'd be like the conversation we're having last season at about this time. Oh, yeah. Try to trade Ekholm, get him, I can't sign him, we'll get something for him, and you know, you're going up and down the list. But
right,
this team, it's in a good spot now, you know, especially with those guys performing. I think it definitely, like you said, it changes the mindset of everybody, obviously.
Put your goalie mask on and get in between the pipes when Philip Forsberg starts the rush behind his own net and is headed your way coming down the right side. What was going through Grubauer's mind, and what about that goal last night?
Well, if I'm a goalie, I'm like, all right, everything looks good. I'll take this. I can see him coming a mile away. He's
right.
Coming. And everything's good. And until all of a sudden he pulls it in, and what happens on that shot is it flips up. So it goes on its side, and then so he's shooting it like almost flat, and you can't read that because it's not going exactly where he's aiming. And he just the velocity and the spot that he put it, you could see it was almost like Grubauer didn't really react to it. It just, it was like a laser right in that spot. But as a goaltender, it's so hard to read because when it goes on its side like that, it's not going exactly where the stick blade's aiming. So it was a perfect shot. And a lot of players can't get that velocity and have that accuracy when it does go on the side. A lot of times you're going to have a miscue or it's going to, you know, knuckle or something like that. But Phil just absolutely, it was just a beautiful goal. And his release, he changes his release point. It's also hard to read it when you pull it in closer to your body like that. And man, what a beautiful goal. And it's, you know, he's been scoring them all year. He is he is on a mission. And he looks, he's another guy, you know, Phil's obviously was a little bit younger and still, I felt hadn't really maybe reached his full potential for a full season. And I feel now, you know, this is the player that he could be. And, you know, again, he's full of confidence, and it just seems every time, you know, even when he's out for a little bit, has an injury and comes back, he picks up where he left off. So, and that's a really good sign of, you know, him taking the next step in his career and his journey.
I think you used the right word. You can see it in his body language. He is definitely on a mission for sure. Matt Tennyson has been in the lineup the last three games. I like this guy's game. I had no expectations when he entered the lineup last Thursday against Winnipeg. He's had three assists in the first two games. I don't think he had an assist or point last night, but what do you make of his game in the small sampling?
Well, I listened to, you know, what Hal said after the one game. He's like, you know what, you're coming in the lineup in that situation, if you don't notice a guy out there, you know, that means he's doing his job. You know, a player that's going to play in that role, he's doing his job. I hear you guys on the post game too, and you guys were talking about that. And he said, obviously, the assists are nice, but he's not doing anything fancy. He's getting that puck to the net. He knows there's bodies there. He's doing all the right things. And I think, again, too, you know, you're starting to see him settle in a little bit. He's got a little bit of physicality. He makes the right plays in the defensive zone. He doesn't try to do anything that, you know, he shouldn't in terms of risk, maybe causing turnovers and things like that. He's got some edge. So I think that, so far I've liked what he's seen, because, you know, at certain points in the season, you know, whether it be Myers or Harper, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of concern out there, you know, in those certain games. And, you know, especially when you're on the road getting certain matchups that the home team has the advantage to get on a Whistler or an Icing or whatever the case may be. And, you know, with Tennyson so far, early small sample size, I think he's looked really good.
Chris Mason every Wednesday at 1 o'clock, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. We'll continue this conversation on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, we're continuing our conversation with Chris Mason as we talk Nashville Predators hockey. The Preds back in action tomorrow night against the Oilers. And Mace, before we get to a look at that game, because that I think that's going to be a really interesting matchup, I feel like we have to not take for granted again another outstanding performance by Juuse Saros. And the people on the broadcast last night said it. If you take a look at the analytics after the game, the scoring chances were pretty even in that game, even though on the surface you might say, well, you know, Nashville is better than Seattle, they should beat Seattle, etc. You know, there was chances there for Seattle to score a lot more goals. And you had two very interesting goalies. Last year, Philip Grubauer was a Vezina finalist, and he parlayed that into a big contract. He makes more money than Juuse Saros. Juuse Saros signs a deal. Juuse Saros outplayed Philip Grubauer last night. And they said, I think Dominic Moore at one point said, this was a difference-making performance. Nashville's goalie was better than Seattle's goalie. But, I mean, it's just we all know it here, but I thought that was another great example for a national audience to see how good Juuse Saros is.
Absolutely. And you know, it just shows you it's one shot. It's one save. It's, you know, it's the difference. It's half a goal every two games, you know, and Juuse Saros is that good. I mean, he's to me, I think he's the biggest difference maker in the National Hockey League. And there's a lot of goalies, you know, this season that are having good years. And you look at Vasilevsky, and you know, he's a difference maker too. But you know, they also have the luxury of having a, you know, a high powered potent offense. And you know, this year the Preds are getting the goal support, and you know, he's racking up the wins. But it's in those tight games. It's in, you know, the one point in that hockey game, they're going back and forth, and you know, Saros gives up a goal. It's a completely different hockey game. But he's just it's. You know, we were talking about the consistency of Forsberg and Duchesne this season. Well, I don't think there's been any more consistent player in the league this year than Juuse Saros. It's getting almost, it's almost comical in a sense that it's so impressive that his consistency, and not only just being like good, being amazing every single night, you know, it's just, he's in every save. It almost seems like to score on him, you're going to have to make a perfect shot. You're going to have to, you know, get in it's going to have to be deflected or a rebound or some goal that you're like, well, Saros had no chance on that one. It went off his defenseman or this or, you know, whatever the case may be, but it's every single night. And this goes back to last season, halfway through last season. And, you know, he got hurt and Pekka filled in and he was awesome. And then Saros comes back after that 2-week hiatus and he's the same old Saros. He is a special player. He might be one of the best players. You know, we're getting ready to face two of the best offensive players in the world right now. He's one of the best players in the world. You know, if you look at his value to his team and what he's the body of work that he has put up since he's been anointed, you know, the starter for the Nashville Predators, there hasn't been a better goalie in the National Hockey League.
And they got him for a price, and I guess for all the certain, you got to give David Poile credit. I don't know if it's, you know, Juuse Saros was at a stage of his career where it was a little bit easier to get him before he could really blossom. It was a little bit like Roman Josi. There's a little bit of leap of faith, but I think you could argue that he's worth a far more higher cap hit. I mean, you could argue he's worth $10 million a year for his cap hit.
Yeah.
You know, well, twice what they're actually paying him.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny how this league has the contracts go, the offensive players. You know, look at, you can go ahead and you pay Connor McDavid, you pay Leon Draisaitl. Yeah, they're the best players in the world, but you got no goaltending. You're short on defense. Where's that going to get you? Not going to get you a Stanley Cup. It'll sell some jerseys, and I guess at the end of the day, you know, it's about making money and the flash and the pizzazz. But you have the opportunity to build your team, any way you desire. And, you know, Dave, one thing David Poile has done very well in his career, look at Ekholm's deal, look at Ellis's deal, look at Yarncroke, look at Sisson's. You know, he gets them before they reach their prime. And UC Saros coming into his prime, there's no guarantee he's going to turn out and, you know, be this. It's not a guarantee. You know, you can project somebody's future. You can project their talent and their worth down the road. But it's also, it's a risk. And for UC Saros, he's like, well, how do I turn down $5 million? You know, how do I turn down this contract? This is a great opportunity for me. I'm a starter. I love it here. And, you know, David Poile uses all those things. And for the player and their agent, they have to make the decision, sign on the dotted line. He could have just easily said, let me do 1 year here and I'll take a chance and then I'll go for the big home run. But obviously it was a deal that was good for both sides. But you look at it now and you look at the other contracts that have been signed around the league, and he's one of the biggest steals in the National Hockey League. So, you know, it's good for the Predators because now they've got cap space and they're in a position where who knows what they do here right around the corner if they add something or what they do in the offseason. But they have that flexibility, and a lot of teams that aren't doing as well as the Preds, they're right up against the cap and they have no flexibility.
Mace, as Darren pointed out in the last segment, you're still down one of your top four D-men. Dante Fabbri will not be back tomorrow. He's not on the trip. So what a great challenge this will be, because if you watch the Oilers, and a lot of our fans may not be following their story, but, you know, they had a blazing hot start, including a win over Nashville. UC Saros did not play in that game. It was a back-to-back. But they came out 16-5. Then they went through what seemed like a never-ending saga where they couldn't get anything right, but here they are. They woke up the last couple of games. They've got a couple of big wins, and so I think this is going to be a very motivated, urgent, desperate Oiler team tomorrow night. So I think I'm looking forward to this matchup.
Yeah, me too. First of all, I can't wait for you and I to get back on the call for this one.
Yeah, it seems like forever since we got a chance to do a game here.
I know, right? But I agree with you too. They went through some tough times. You had the Matheson Dreisaitl exchange there in the media, and there's been a lot of frustration up in Edmonton. And as we know, the Canadian media, you get all those expectations early in the season, and everyone's, oh, this is the year, and you know how that goes. But you know, again, it's a team that I just don't think is much of a threat if you get to the playoffs, just because of the way that their roster is constructed. But having said that, you know, you get them while they're hot, and when their power play is clicking along, and it's a different animal. I mean, I believe at one point of the year they're almost 50%. They have that skill in the way that they move the puck around. You get those two players on top of their game and feeling good, they can win hockey games by themselves. So it's tough to contain, even if you're doing the right things and you're in the right spot and you have everything set up like you want to have set up, they can still hurt you. Again, you know, that's where a player like UC Saros is even more valuable when you're playing against those types of talents. So it'll be a good game. And you're right. Edmonton is, they're a little PO'd, if you will, right now. And they're on a mission to get back and get some relevancy and get back in the conversation of, you know, being a good team and getting the playoffs.
I think we've got a head start on our production meeting, our game plan for tomorrow night's broadcast. As you just mentioned, Edmonton's power play is number one in the NHL. They've actually come down from when we last played them, when we last saw them. They were up close to 50%, which is unbelievable. They're at 29.6, which is still number one. But it does remind me, Mace, that one of the Predators' issues here, really all season, but of late you can see it, they're just going into the penalty box too much for their liking. And so that's not a good recipe for tomorrow night. They've got to, I know that will be a big emphasis for them.
No, they've got to curb that. And it's, you know, they pointed out, and we have as well, we've followed the storyline, that they're the most penalized team in the National Hockey League, and not just majors in terms of, you know, going to the box and minor penalties. And, you know, this is a team that plays on the edge, but the penalties to me that are of concern are the ones they seem to be taking a lot. It's the stick penalties. It's the stick in the hands. It's the, you know, errant high stick when you're trying to get around, get position. It's not intentional, but you know, that's part of being disciplined. That's part of being in control of your game and, you know, taking that extra stride in the neutral zone. I know it's your instincts and you're in a battle and you want to reach, but it's just happening too frequently. And if the Predators want to be, you know, continue to have the success that they're having going down the stretch. And then it's not something you just turn off, you know. So it's something that can win or lose you a series. Is you go to the box too many times in a seven-game series, and all it's going to take is that one game where it costs you, and you're out, and you know you're in your off season. But if they can figure a way to turn that around and to be a little more disciplined and not get on the penalty kill as much, then obviously it's going to increase their chances. And again, against a team like Edmonton, you know, if you do that, you play them 5-on-5 and you outplay them, well, you're probably not going to end up winning the game if you're in the box all night. You want to leave it to 5-on-5. You know, that's where the Preds excel. That's where they're one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And Forsberg, as we know, leads the league in 5-on-5 goals, and it's a team that thrives in that. So just stay out of the box. I'm not sure what they're going to do that, because I think we've had some conversations with Hines over the season. Is you got to take ice time away, or you have to figure out a fine system or something, you know, to get this the ship righted in the discipline area.
Yeah, he was asked specifically about that last night in a post game, and he did not mince words. He's like, yeah, we've got to stay out of the box. He didn't sugarcoat it a bit. By the way, real quick, I haven't even looked. Guys, is Edmonton having – do they have fans in the arena? I haven't looked. Are they – they're not doing empty arenas, right? So Edmonton will be packed tomorrow night or no?
I don't know.
I haven't looked.
I don't know. There may be some restrictions. I know in Ontario there are restrictions through
I'm wondering
March.
If
I don't
Edmonton.
Know about Alberta.
Okay. I was just curious.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope so. It's getting old.
Question for Elliot tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chris, thanks for the visit as always. Look forward to you and Willie's coverage tomorrow night on Bally Sports.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Chris Mason, brought to you by Coleman Tractor, Middle Tennessee's leading Kubota dealer. Pete Weber and J.P. Dumont on these airwaves at 8 o'clock when they drop the puck. J.P. filling in for Hal Gill, who tested positive. I'll have pregame for you at 7 over on the television side. Willie and Chris will have their coverage 8 o'clock puck drop pregame at 7:30 on Bally Sports. We'll come back and continue things rolling. It's been a fast-moving show here on this Wednesday as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I asked Elijah back at our Hillside Medical Game Studios to play that promo because that played last break going into it. And I asked him to play it again because, I mean, I got to take issue with that. First of all, who's responsible for that? Did you put that together, Elijah? Was that Chase?
It was not me. I can say that. I don't know who it was, but I did not come up with that.
But why do you think I would take issue with that?
Probably the athletic part.
Yeah. Well, very little athletic ability. What? Really? This show? There's only one person that fits that description. That's it. It's actually turned into, lately it's been a four-man show. Let's see. Derek Mason played in the NFL for, I don't know, what, 16 years? He should be in the Hall of Fame. Willie played Division I SEC basketball and baseball and was drafted in the MLB draft by the Blue Jays. No, I don't apply to either one of those two, but, I mean, look, I'm not in any Hall of Fames, but I can hold my own in sports. I got no issues with that. So where is the very little athletic ability? There's only one other person that is the far, 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 far outlier extreme, and we all know who that is.
Yeah, and so, let's not shortchange Elijah. Elijah can hoop, okay? Elijah was a good hoopster.
Well, I wasn't done, and I was going there. Like, Elijah, again.
Good, yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like, there's only one person that doesn't have an athletic bone in their body. Like I don't think he could shuffle cards without losing some of the cards. Like I honestly. So exactly why is that the show promo? A show that has very little athletic ability? I'm taking issue with that. Who do I need to take issue with, Elijah? Who's responsible for that?
Sounds like a Suits ordeal to me.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Sounds like the Suits.
Sounds like that call came from upstairs.
Yeah. And when I say suit, I mean like he's in like a jogging suit. Not that he jogs, but you know, a very it's not literally a suit. But he's in it. But that promo needs to be adjusted.
You're saying it's inaccurate.
It's very inaccurate. It's extremely inaccurate. Like there's no one on this show other than one person that doesn't have an athletic bone in their body. Like everybody else can hold their own. Anybody who's associated with the show, but one person.
I mean, you learned how to throw a spiral years ago, Darren. That was a long time ago with Jeff Rutledge.
With Jeff Rutledge.
Throwing spirals for years now.
Oh, that's like in the past, Willie. It's like, you know, I laugh at that. Oh, remember those days?
Yeah. Okay. Point well taken. I mean, I feel like if this is not corrected by Friday, they're going on the list.
I'm offended. Y'all, there's no question. If that promo continues to run this week, Friday at noon, we'll have a little fun with that because it's just flat out inaccurate and wrong.
Yeah.
You just made the list.
Okay. You know, that's Friday. Let's give it time. We have as you want. The paperwork has been submitted, Kamish. Okay,
it's a formal complaint.
We are formally complaining that promo is a bunch of bunk because it only applies for one person. All right. By the way, speaking of that, you and the jogging suit, will be hosting Smashville Live tonight during the 6 o'clock hour. So check that out. Dan Hynote will be the guest for the first half of the show. Then our buddy Darcy Hordachuk, love Darcy. He'll be telling stories and jokes, and you guys will be having fun the second half of Smashville Live. And you can also watch it on our Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. So keep that in mind as well. And all season long, Smashville Live during the 6 o'clock hour on Wednesdays is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue.
We have to do a little research. I wonder if Dan Hynote and Darcy Hordachuk ever squared off. They played plenty of games against one another. Both hard-nosed, tough players. I think people have never heard Dan Hynote in an interview, well, obviously, if you've watched any games, you probably hear his interview in the second intermission. To me, you get great insight from him. I just really enjoy conversations with him talking the game. And I think I don't want to go out on a limb too far, but because I don't know how other people think, I believe he someday will be a head coach in the NHL. I think he's got that makeup. I think he's made a great impact on the staff since he came in. I think he's excellent. Well, and then you just mentioned Darcy Hordachuk is a scream, as we know. He's hilarious. So that we'll have a fun show tonight.
Well, you can bring up the delay or the stop, right, in Denver to get out to Seattle.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Because there have been plenty of delays over the years and stops and things that weren't scheduled. And we all know the one in St. Louis that certainly Darcy could tell that story again. Because while we think everybody's heard it. It's a great story. The ice storm in St. Louis?
Yeah. Oh, man, that was brutal.
Darcy
but that
kept
was the
everybody
card trick story?
Yeah, he kept everybody entertained with his magic tricks.
I almost forgot about that. That's a good one. We might have to bring that up tonight.
Oh, you got to. You got to. He'll love it. He will love it.
That will be good stuff.
I was told during the break that they believe Edmonton is operating at 50%. So
that sounds like it. Yeah. Okay. But they've won two dramatic games since they went into the tank, and it just seemed like they were never going to win another game. I mean, we've seen that happen to teams. You know, you just have that funk that you can't shake. But a good team, and they do have a lot of talent. They're waking up at the right time. I think it's going to be an interesting challenge for the Predators tomorrow night. I think it's a great challenge to see what you've got in a hostile environment like that.
Well, on a team that needed these wins because they were kind of teetering on the brink of destruction, because you know how that market is. And remember, they got off to the first month of the season, looked like world beaters.
Oh, yeah. And everybody's talking about, hey, you got to trade this. You got to trade that. You got to get a goalie. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to, you know, fire the coach. That's what happens there. in those hotbeds, and it's just constant, 24 hours, 7 days a week until you get out of it. And you have to keep in mind it's such a marathon. You can come out of a bad time, even if it goes on for a full month or 6 weeks. There's still time. But, you know, they looked so dominant the first time the Predators went through there. They were tough to stop. But that was a night where the Predators were playing on a back-to-back. And Connor Ingram played. He played a pretty good game, but he still gave up 5 goals or whatever it was. I think there was an empty net goal in there at the end. It was just tough to stop the Oilers that night. And I'm curious to see what it looks like this time when you have UC Saros in there. And there still is some questions about the Oilers' goaltending, but Koskinen, who beat them the first time, was really getting ripped. He couldn't stop anything. But he's played 2 good games now, and the confidence starts to come back a little bit. He is a big goalie who is capable of playing well, even though he was getting completely shredded as the main reason that they weren't winning. But and that's life in the NHL, right? If you got a goalie that's making saves, it makes your whole team a lot better.
Luckily for them, that division, the Pacific, is definitely inferior to the Central. So, I mean, you can hang 42 points seems like, you know, like Winnipeg has 41, and they seem like they're kind of miles away from everybody, where 42 points in the Pacific, not so much.
Yeah, you could still get in the top 3 in the Pacific if you're in the 40s right now.
They're 4 points behind being third.
Yeah, and if you're Winnipeg, you're going to have to play lights out to get into the top 3 in the Central, because those teams, really the top 4 in the Central, are at a higher level. And now take a look at who's on a roll, the Dallas Stars. All of a sudden, they've got their act together, and they've strung together some wins. They're on fire at this point. So the Western Conference, that race is going to be
Colorado's
really
on fire. That's the team that's on fire.
Well, they're on a whole other level. They're on a level that's almost unstoppable at this point. In fact, how many games have they lost since the Predators beat them in that overtime game? Have they lost? Maybe
they've
one?
They've won 7 in a row. I know that.
And there's something like 15-1, and they've won 15 straight at home.
Yeah, somebody's poked the bear. Well, they're 18-2-1 this season, so I think they've got more. I think Florida was the only, because remember Florida won like 14 in a row, their first 14 games. Yeah, Florida's the only team that's better at home in the league than Colorado.
Yep, and they're pretty darn good too.
Yep, somebody poked that bear, because they have definitely woken up. I think they're 9-0-1 when I looked last night in their last 10. So, yeah, but I mean, Winnipeg, you add 4 points onto their total. I mean, they're 14 points behind St. Louis, which is in third. 14 points.
Yeah, they got some catching up. And they have a few games in hand, but they've played a bunch of them quickly here, and they're on a little bit of a skid. So that's.
Now, you're right. The games in hand, good point. They do. Both Winnipeg and Edmonton have a lot of games in hand. So
that's what they have going for them.
Yep.
Yeah,
that's right.
Because the Canadian teams were shut down. You know, they postponed a lot of those home games to buy some time. So they have some, as they say, the runway to make a run here. But they've got to win those games. And they're going to be compacted in. As we know, there's not going to be a lot of rest involved.
We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's edition of the DDC. We'll do that next. Jack, I just saw Lane Kiffin tweet out a picture, and there's nothing, no comment. It's just a picture of a building that says "Welcome to Music City." So I don't know. Maybe Lane Train's in town. Hey Lane, what's up, man? I don't know where he is. Welcome to Music City. I have to believe he's here, I guess. I don't know. Don't know. All right, I know you want to get something. I know you want to get something off your chest about the Baseball Hall of Fame, so have at it.
Well, I don't want to get not necessarily. I just thought it was interesting. We've had a lot of discussions on who's a Hall of Famer, who's not, on a lot of different sports topics. Yesterday was very, very significant because Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds didn't make it, and now they're done. They cannot be voted in by the writers. They've had their allotted time, And so now for them to get into the Hall of Fame, it's going to have to go to other committees, the Veterans Committee. And so that's it. So your thoughts?
Didn't Big Poppy get David first Ortiz, ballot?
First ballot, David, yeah. David Ortiz, as a DH, which always makes it complicated, right? You have to be an incredible hitter when you're a DH. It took Edgar Martinez a long time.
And I said he should be in for a long
yes.
time.
So that certainly paved the way for David Ortiz to get in easily. But as we know, David Ortiz did have in the trial testing, you know, when they were trying to come up with a policy, they had no policy. When the steroid thing was hitting, they had everybody anonymously, privately test. And, of course, the results were exposed, right? Then the list came out, and he did test positive for a banned substance in 03. And so people do ask, you know, okay, if you're going David Ortiz, why not Clemens and Bonds, et cetera? But he has overcome that. And the commissioner did come out and say, you should not hold that against David Ortiz because it hasn't come public what the substance was, et cetera. There's all kinds of things there. But I can understand it from afar, just in a general sense. It's such a tough thing. I listened to a podcast this morning with our buddy Jason Stark and how difficult this is to vote. And you have all these voters that have their opinions. And there are plenty. Obviously, there are enough that voted for David Ortiz, but not for Bonds and Clemens. Bonds and Clemens got basically two-thirds of the votes, but you got to have 75% to get in. So this is it. The book is closed on those two guys. And I feel like here's the one thing I did want to get off my chest, Darren, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. Let's just say hypothetically, and we know it never happened, and it probably will never happen. But if Bonds and Clemens had come out at some point in the last 5-7 years and said, guys, I want to do the interview. I'm just here to tell you I'm coming clean. I screwed up. I got caught up. I did the things that I did. So many people were doing it. I went all in on it. And I'm here to say I apologize for lying about it, etc. Do you think, like, I don't know what the legal ramifications are of that, because remember, they went to court and all that stuff about all that, right? And maybe that's part of the reason why they haven't done it. But hypothetically, if they had just admitted what they did, do you think they'd be in the Hall of Fame? I kind of think they do. I kind of think they would have made it.
Really? Is Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Okay. Didn't he admit it? All right, guys. I can't keep doing this. You know what I did? I did it.
I think it was the way that he admitted it, right? If he had admitted it earlier, I think he could have had a chance to be reinstated. Well, but remember how cheesy it was when it happened? Like, it was so weird how he came clean.
How long have Bonds and Clemens been out again? It's not like they retired 5 years ago.
I know. But, like, over time, I think I always remember Andy Pettit saying, yeah, I was trying to get healthy and I did it. Like, if you just admit that you did it, you face up to what you did, I feel like you have a much better chance of getting over the hump on things like this. I think you're just looked upon in a much, much better light.
Willie. This thing is all phony, and you know this. You know where I'm going with this because you know I'm a big believer in this. Stuff is all phony. Like, what does one group have in common as opposed to the other group? Big Poppy, like, are you telling me? I'm not going to speak for anybody. Come on. You think one time? Really? Big Poppy? Really? One time? Well, by the way, he didn't start his career in Boston.
He was tested constantly.
He wasn't very good at Minnesota.
And never tested positive. He never tested positive after there was a program. That's probably the best thing.
Okay.
That's the best argument. I'm giving you the argument.
Ken Rosenthal,
they went back through all of this stuff, right? And
Andy Pettit, beloved. David Ortiz, beloved.
No
likable people. Likable people.
And Bonds, I do think that matters in life.
Not likable.
Kurt Schilling's another one.
Kurt Schilling.
Because of a specific reason.
Pete Rose. Roger Clemens. It's phony.
Pete Rose is beloved. Pete Rose was beloved.
I know, beloved. But he's beloved, but he's also icky. Not icky shuffle, to use a Cincinnati reference. Just icky. Like
I
love
there's
Pete,
a lot of icky people in the Hall of Fame.
Come on, Pete.
A lot of icky people.
Is a lot like Kirchhoff, like icky. Like they did a lot. They've done a lot. Of, you know, it's like ugh, shower time. Shower.
I get it.
They're not squeaky clean. Andy Pettit, squeaky clean. David Ortiz is not squeaky clean, but he is beloved. Beloved. It's phony, man. It's totally phony. It's the same reason Jack Morris, all those years.
Yeah. I do think how you treat other people in life does matter. It does catch up to you on some level when it comes to these things. I'm not going to deny that that's a part of it. So I do, but I do wonder if there had been some admission of guilt, and if they could do it all over again, I wonder if the players would have been better off in the early 2000s when all this came up, instead of fighting it tooth and nail and, you know, trying to protect each other, instead of just saying, listen, we're coming to clean. We had a bunch of people that did this. We're not going to name names, but we're all responsible. We got to put an end to it.
Is Rafael Palmeiro in?
Well, he lied about it.
Oh, that's my point. Yes, yeah. He wagged his finger at everybody.
Yes.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
So
he's absolutely Hall of Famer. Same boat. He wagged his finger at everybody and said, you know, I would never. He lied. Totally lied.
Yeah.
That's why he's not in.
If he'd admitted it on that day, he might have been in a bit different position today.
Bruce Pearl. It was just about a barbecue. No. What was it about? The cover-up. The lie. That's what gets you, man. Will Wade's still the coach at LSU. He was caught on tape saying, I've got a big-ass offer. It's about the lie.
Strong.
It's about the cover-up. A strong, sorry.
Yeah.
Strong. Yeah. It's phony. It's phony. All right, that'll do it for our show today. Enjoy the rest of your week. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We shall see you then. Stay tuned. Stillman & Company is next.